All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Mark chapter 9. And while you do that, I want to do something I never do. We do podcasts. These go out to people in different places that listen to them, and I never do this, but I want to look and say happy birthday to my mother-in-law, Susie. It's her birthday today, and she watches sometimes, and so I wanted to say that I love you, Mom, and happy birthday if she's watching. So anyways, I want to do that. So all right, now we can move forward. This week, Stacy and I are actually going on a little pastor's retreat from Monday through Wednesday. And then from Wednesday through Saturday, we're going to take some time to just get away, to be with the Lord, spend some time praying about our church and this next year ahead. And if you've been a part of the church for a while, you know that I from the very beginning have taken time each year to kind of get away and to seek the Lord, to pray and hear vision and direction from Him for that next year, for our church. And so these times away have been powerful times for me, where God has spoken to me some important things for our church. It's during these times away that the Lord has led me in some of the things that have become a part of who we are as a church. Us praying for other churches came out of my first time away. Our banner there at the back of the church, where we write names of those that we want to see come to know Jesus, came from one of my times away. The Acts series, the series that we took through the Bible, those came out of these times away. And so these are times that are extremely important for myself as a pastor and really for us as a church. But the truth is, I think we all need times like these in our lives. We all need those mountaintop experiences, which is what I want to talk about this morning. And I've titled my message, Mountaintops or Valleys? Question mark, right? It's a question, mountaintops or valleys? And the short answer is yes. Yes, right? The short answer is yes. I'm going to explain what I mean this morning by looking at a famous mountaintop experience that Jesus had with some of his disciples. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 29. So we got a lot of scripture here, so buckle down, have your ears open, or if you have your Bible, you can follow along. But this is what it says. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Excuse me. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, "Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. 'What are you arguing with them about?' he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." And some says by prayer and fasting. And so here in this scripture, we see Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to a mountaintop, right? And suddenly, Jesus starts to glow. And then the ghosts of Christians past show up, right? They show up. And the big question is, why? What is this moment all about? Now, the truth is, we don't fully know. Only God knows exactly what the point of this moment and time was. Many people have thoughts or speculations, and it really could be many, many different things. Perhaps God sent Elijah and Moses to encourage Jesus in this time as he was preparing to give his life for all of us. Or if you're familiar with Jewish customs, they recognized Elijah and Moses as representation of the law and the prophets. And so when God said, "Listen to him, listen to Jesus," perhaps God was showing them that the law and prophets must give way to Jesus. That Jesus is now the fulfillment of the law and the prophecies throughout the Old Testament. There are all different ideas and beliefs when it comes to the transfiguration and what it means. But today, I want to focus on the experience itself, what Peter, James, and John experienced, and why those mountaintop experiences are so important for us. They're so important in our lives. And so, I told you, the title of this message is Mountaintops or Valleys. And the answer to that question is yes, right? It's both. And so, what I want to do this morning is talk about why we need both, why we need to say yes to both. And so I want to start with the mountaintop and why we need mountaintop experiences. And so first and foremost, I believe we need mountaintop experiences because they change us and empower us. When we experience the move of God in powerful ways, like Peter, James, and John did here in Mark chapter 9, it changes us. And it empowers us. These disciples that were on the mountain, they never forgot what happened that day. And we know this because later they reference it in Scripture at times. John wrote about it in John 1:14 when he said, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only." In this scripture, John is referencing that moment on the mountaintop when he saw Jesus in all his glory. Peter also wrote about this in 2 Peter 1, 16 through 18, when he says, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is My Son, whom I love, with Him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain." This moment on the mountain was powerful for these disciples, right? And they were impacted in a way that changed their lives, where they couldn't help but share this experience with others that they had. And the question I think we all need to ask ourselves is this: have we ever experienced a moment in our lives where we felt so close to God, so filled with His presence, that we were certain that we were standing on holy ground, that we were with the Father? This is what I'm talking about when I talk about mountaintop experiences. Moments where we encounter God in a way that leaves us in awe of His majesty and power. Throughout the Bible, we find numerous accounts like this one that we read about here in Mark, where individuals experience life-changing encounters with God on mountaintops. Both Elijah and Moses had previous experiences on mountaintops. Maybe that's why it was the two of them that were on the mountain. I don't know. But these mountaintop experiences were life-changing for all of them. These encounters left lasting impressions on their hearts and minds, empowering them for the work that God had called them to do. And the thing is, God invites us to experience these kinds of moments in our own lives where we take time to draw near to God with expectant hearts, right? Ready to experience His presence, ready to experience His glory. Now, I think we know that the phrase mountaintop experience is really a metaphor, okay? You don't have to go up onto a mountaintop to have these experiences. You can, and I have experienced some of these things when I've gone up onto a mountain and spent time with the Lord. But it's talking about getting away from the busyness of life. Just getting away to spend some quality time with the Lord. Whether that's several days, whether that's one day or even just a few hours, we need to take time to get away with the Lord. Even these Sundays can sometimes be a little escape from the world, right? We come here to worship the Lord and experience Him. And so we need to take those times to get away and to experience time with the Lord. Jesus demonstrated this for us all throughout the Scripture, right? When He was here on this earth. Mark 1:35 tells us, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed." Earlier I asked the question, have we ever experienced a moment in our life when we felt so close to God, so filled with His presence, that we were certain that we were standing on holy ground? And if you haven't experienced that, or if it's been a long time since you've experienced that, I encourage you to find some time, to make some time in your schedule, your busy schedules. I know we're all busy, but to take some time to go to a solitary place, even if it's just for an hour or two, to just seek Him with all our heart. To take some intentional time to pray, to listen, to read the Word, to worship the God of this universe. Take time to meet Him on the mountain, right? To trust that He will meet you there in a powerful and transformative way. I remember one time I was a young youth pastor in a service, and an amazing spirit-filled pastor was speaking and just said, do you believe that if you took time every morning to read your Bible, to pray and to seek the Lord, do you think your life would be different? Yeah. Then why don't we do it? That's what she said. And I just thought of that this morning as I was talking through that. Do we believe taking that time, God will speak to us? God will give us those mountaintop experiences? I do, and I know I need to do it more often. And so we need to take that time to be with Him so that He can meet us there in powerful and transformative ways. And so we need these mountaintop experiences because they change us and empower us, which then leads me to the second reason that I believe we need the mountaintop experience. And that's because following Jesus is hard. Following Jesus is hard. If anyone tells you that giving your life to Jesus will make your life easier and better, it will make it better, but it won't make it easier. If they tell you that, they're lying, okay? Because Jesus Himself told us, if we want to follow Him, what do we have to do? We need to take up our cross daily. And He's not talking about put your little gold cross on and wear it around, right? He's talking about what He went through. We have to take up our cross. That doesn't sound easy, right? Peter, James, and John, they have no idea what lies ahead of them. In their minds, at this time, Jesus is there to conquer those evil Romans and to take back King David's throne. That's what many of them thought. The disciples thought, all right, when are we going to fight Jesus? When are we going to take this back? When are we going to do this thing? Let's go, right? That's what they thought. They didn't understand the words that Jesus was speaking to them. We see that in the scripture. In verse 9, Jesus tells them not to say anything to anyone until the Son of Man rises from the dead. And in verse 10, they kept the matter to themselves, right? Discussing, what does He mean when He rises from the dead, right? What is He talking about? I don't get it, right? They didn't understand what was going on. They don't realize, but they've got some tough times ahead of them. They're going to have to watch their Savior die in front of them on a cross. Their faith is going to be tested in ways that they never imagined possible. They're going to experience fear and doubt that will actually cause them to scatter, right? And then Peter, the rock, right, that Jesus said He would build His church upon, he's going to deny even knowing Jesus, not just once, but three times. And then after Jesus rises from the grave and ascends back into heaven, the disciples and followers of Jesus are going to experience great persecution. They have difficult times ahead that they aren't even aware of. Following Jesus is hard. And Jesus Himself knew this. That's why He went and spent time with the Father regularly. And that's why I believe He took Peter, James, and John up onto that mountain, so that they could have a life-changing experience with the God of this universe. A God who loves them. A God who wanted to use them and did use them to change the world. And the reality is, God wants to use us, which is why He calls us to come to the mountaintop, to take time to be with Him, to get a glimpse of the divine, the God of this universe who created all things. He wants us to experience Him because following Jesus is hard. But He wants to show us the glory of His Son in ways that will change us and empower us to overcome the challenges and difficulties of this world. So yes, we need the mountaintop experiences. And the truth is, I think many of us Say, yeah, I'll take the mountaintop. Can I just live up there? Can I just stay up there, right? Because that's the thing. We want to be on the mountaintop 24/7. Wouldn't that be great? Well, it's going to happen someday. That's called heaven, right? Even Peter wanted that, right? In the scripture, even Peter was trying to do that. He says, let's set up tents for everyone so we can just stay up here and bask in the glory of our Savior. Wouldn't that be awesome? It sounds amazing. So why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we just go stay on the mountaintop? Why shouldn't we just choose to live there forever? Well, I want to look at why we actually need to say yes to the valleys as well. Both. Yes to both. I believe there are two main reasons here that we need to say yes to the valleys. And there's more than this. This is what God put on my heart for this morning. The first is this, because we're told to listen to Jesus. In verse 7, the voice of God speaks, saying, this is my Son whom I love. Listen to him. Listen to him. And the thing is, if we listen to the voice of Jesus, he's calling us down into the valleys. In verse 8, suddenly everyone is gone except Jesus. And what happens in the very next verse? Jesus is leading them down the mountain, right? The very first verse, or next verse, begins, as they were coming down the mountain, Peter, James, and John had their mountaintop experience, and now it was time to go and make a difference in the lives of those that were in need, those in the valley. If we choose to listen to Jesus, we'll hear him call us into the valleys. Why? To proclaim the good news to the poor, to bring freedom to the prisoners, and to set the oppressed free. Isn't that what Jesus said? I'm here. This is what I'm here to do. And now we get to do the same thing. And the thing I love about Jesus is that he didn't just speak these things for us to do. He lived them out in his own life here on this earth. He hung out with the outcast. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. And he spoke out against injustice and oppression. He set the example here in the scriptures for all of us. And he simply calls us to do what he did, right? He's not one of those, you know, that says, do as I say, not as I do, right? He said, no, no, no. Here, do what I did. Follow in my footsteps. Live the life that I lived here on this earth. He's calling us into the valleys. You see, Jesus, he knew the importance of the mountaintop experience. He knew the importance of being with the Father, gaining strength in his presence. But Jesus himself never stayed on the mountaintop. He always descended into the valleys. He didn't stay where it was comfortable. I want to stay where it's comfortable, right? We want to do that, and it's natural for us. Jesus didn't stay where it was comfortable. Instead, he went to where the need was the greatest, where people were hurting and marginalized. And if we're going to be people who follow and listen to the voice of Jesus, then we need to be spending time in the valleys, in the places of poverty, oppression, and suffering, the places that need Jesus the most. Which then leads me to the second reason I believe we need to say yes to Jesus, or yes to the valleys. And that's because it's where lives are changed and empowered. You see, when we spend time on the mountaintop, our lives are changed and empowered, which enables us to go down into the valleys and help other people's lives to be changed and empowered. That's what it's about. Right? We see that happen here in Mark chapter 9. After this mountaintop experience, Jesus and his disciples descended from the mountain and entered into the valley below. And they are immediately met by people in need, by chaos, by difficulty, right? They're immediately met by a group of people in great need. It was at the bottom of the mountain that they found a desperate father whose son was demon-possessed and suffering greatly. And disciples who didn't know what to do, who couldn't do what they wanted to do, I wonder if they had spent some time up on the mountaintop, would they have been able to do that? It takes prayer and fasting, Jesus said, right? And so despite the remaining disciples' inability to heal the boy, Jesus comes and he intervenes and he brought about complete healing and restoration to this young man. And the story reminds us of the strength and empowerment we receive on the mountaintops. If we're not spending that time on the mountaintop, then we're going to be the ones asking the Lord, why couldn't I do that, God? Why couldn't I do what you said I could do? Because it takes prayer and fasting. It takes time being with the Father, being strengthened and empowered to do the work that I've called you to do. We are called to receive power on the mountaintops so that it can propel us into the valleys of need and brokenness, where lives are transformed and empowered by the love of Jesus. In the same way that Jesus and his disciples brought healing and hope to the broken and oppressed in the midst of the valleys, we too are called to be God's lights, to be full of his love and grace in the midst of life's struggles and challenges. Matthew 5:16 tells us, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's in the valleys that we get to be lights that help make a difference in our world, that help make a difference in the lives of the oppressed. A great modern day example of this is Mother Teresa. She dedicated her life to living and helping in some of the poorest of valleys, who, despite facing immense hardships and obstacles, she never wavered in her conviction that God had called her to love and serve those in the valley of despair. Through her sacrificial love and compassion, countless lives were touched and transformed by the power of God's love. By one woman who said, I need more of Jesus in my life so that I can love others to him. And the truth is, all of us have this role. All of us have a unique role to play in seeing the lives of others changed in the valleys of our world. Whether it's reaching out to our neighbors that are in need, whether it's loving a coworker, whether it's volunteering in our community, or advocating for justice on behalf of the marginalized, we all have the opportunity to make a difference right where we are in the valleys that we find ourselves. And one of the things that I think we need to understand is that we don't go out into the valleys alone. In the same way that Jesus led Peter, James, and John down from the mountain, he leads us, he goes before us, and he equips us and empowers us for the valleys that he's calling us to. He doesn't just throw us out there. Here, go, look. Look at all the crud going on over there. Here, go take care of it. No, he leads us down there. And he shows us the people that we're called to love. He empowers us. And so may we take time. May we be people who seek and embrace those mountaintop experiences that God has for us, right? Knowing that those mountaintops lead to the opportunities of growth and empowerment, not just for us, but for those he leads us to as well. And so the question, mountaintops or valleys? The answer is yes. May we seek the mountaintop experiences so that we can faithfully live in the valleys and help to extend His kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the scriptures that sometimes we don't fully know what was meant, what we should receive from the transfiguration. There's all sorts of questions and ideas and thoughts about what that was about. But Lord, we know that in that mountaintop experience, Peter, James, and John's lives were changed. And there's something powerful about experiencing the mountaintop, Lord. There's something powerful about withdrawing and being with You and allowing You to meet us where we're at, to empower us and to change us so that, Lord, we can go into the valleys, that we can go into this dark world and make a difference for You. And so, Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the challenges that You bring to us in Your word. Because I know, like anyone else, I would love to just go hang out on the mountaintop and have nothing but beautiful, wonderful times in Your presence and experience the glory of You over and over. But Lord, You've called us into the valleys. And I believe that we can experience Your glory in the valleys, but it's stepping off that mountaintop and allowing You to do what You want to do in and through us, Lord. It's listening to Your voice. And that's my prayer for all of us today, I think, more than anything, is that, Lord, we would have ears and hearts open to hear Your voice and to respond, to be obedient to the things that You are calling us to do, Lord. There are people in our neighborhoods, there are people in our community that need You, and we need to be Your light to those people, Lord. So teach us, show us, how do we do that? How do we do that better, Lord? Help us take time to be with You, to be in Your presence, to be built up so that we can make a difference in the world around us, Lord. Again, thank You for Your word. Just to help each of us to receive what You want us to receive from this word today, Lord. Help us to have hearts and ears open to hear Your word and to live the lives that You've called us to live, Lord. We thank You. We praise You. We give You all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.